Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, in particular chapter 4. I want to start reading at verse 11 and conclude with verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 13.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bless
your pastor. It reads this way. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. I know both how to be abased,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I know how to abound.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everywhere and in all things I am instructed,
yes, sir.
Both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you tonight for this precious privilege to look into your word. We ask that you would lead us and guide us, that your word might go forth with clarity, with boldness, with understanding. Pray that you have your will in your way, and we'll be so careful to give you the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen. Tonight our subject is the positive outlook of Christian faith. The positive outlook of Christian faith. Years ago, I'm quite sure that most of you will remember, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones made popular a song that declared, I can't get no satisfaction in this world anymore. The words of that song was written by one who had accumulated a great amount of riches and wealth, but had reached a point in his life where, looking back through the rearview mirror of his life, he realized that despite all that he had acquired, it still had not brought him what he had sought after. The words of that song are reminiscent of the people of this world who are currently engaged in the frantic search for contentment, only to discover that this world, with all that it offers, provides only a restlessness due to the fact that it cannot provide what it seems to promise. Consequently, there are many people, all too many people, looking in all the wrong places and turning to all the wrong sources. There are some who seek happiness through materialism. Amen. We call it at St. Mark the stuff principle. We love stuff. We love stuff so much that when we leave the house, we put the alarm on and lock the door because we don't want nobody fooling with our stuff. While we are out on our way to get some more stuff and bring it home to try to find room for that stuff. Amen. Some seek happiness and contentment through materialism. Others seek it through sexual prowess, but again, they don't find it, to only end up with fleeting pleasures and bitter disappointments. There are others, of course, who seek happiness and contentment through positions of power on their jobs, and after exhausting all of their efforts, they too reach the similar conclusion of Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. Despite all of their efforts, they conclude they can't get no satisfaction in this world anymore. Add to that man's artificial ways to find peace for the soul, many of which you and I have tried. Amen. It is said that Abraham Lincoln, who himself was said to have faced many difficult days, was heard to say, "Most people are about as happy as they choose to be." Amen. In other words, you've heard of that book that's came out that's entitled Happiness is a Choice. Christian psychiatrists have said that if one is going to overcome melancholy and depression, one must choose to be happy. Some people, it is said, suffer depression and melancholy because they choose to. Amen. Imagine some of you might disagree with me when I say that and declare instead that these conditions are matters of one's outward circumstances. But I come to suggest this evening. No, I come to declare this evening. It is indeed possible to be content. It is indeed possible to be happy, even in spite of one's circumstances, regardless of your outward circumstances or whatever might be going on in your life. I ran across this little poem the other day, and it said, "Sure, it takes a lot of courage to put things in God's hands, to give ourselves completely, our lives, our hopes, our plans, to follow where He leads us and make His will our own. But all it takes is foolishness to try to go this way alone. Amen. The sad thing about our society, this culture currently, is that it seems that many people suffer from the peril of thinking about everything but God. And that is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get through to us in this little letter of Philippians. If you've not read it, might I suggest to you tonight that when time permits, please read the book of Philippians, some 104 verses, well worth our time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Therein you'll find the repetitive theme of joy in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It is easily found within the entire book.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This fact of joy is remarkable because when Paul wrote this letter, he was not in a five-star hotel. When Paul wrote this letter, he was not relaxing on the beach drinking a mimosa. Paul, instead, is in a Roman jail. His freedom has been taken away from him. And yet over and over, he encourages these believers to have joy. How can he, locked up in jail, promote the idea of joy? Well, because Paul realizes that genuine joy does not come from our circumstances. Amen. Amen. Paul begins to confess to us and attempts to teach us a powerful principle, and that is that contentment is not inherent. Contentment is learned. It is not innate. It is not something that you're born with. It's this gift of contentment is something that must be learned. It's an attitude.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not mere happiness.
Yes, sir.
Contentment is beyond happiness, because happiness always depends on what's happening. That means that when the happenings are not happening any longer, then you are no longer happy, which puts you in the seat of an emotional roller coaster that will take you up and down with people who are always talking about happiness. One of the biggest stories that I keep hearing from people today, and I'm sure that you've heard it as well, in relationship is that they think they deserve to be happy. They don't even understand. They think that happiness is the result of having a certain set of circumstances where everything is working out for you just the way you planned it. Amen. Somehow they miss the fact that life seldom turns out like you planned it. Amen. How many of you have live long enough to realize that not everything in this world goes according to the way you planned it? Amen. It just doesn't seem to happen that way. So along the journey, we have to be able to make adjustments in our lives. Happiness is a state of doing, but contentment is a state of being. Contentment is about being happy with who you are. Happiness is about feeling good about what you are doing or about what you have. And happiness comes from other people treating you well and because circumstances are going in your favor. But contentment comes from knowing that God is in control. Regardless of your temptations or your circumstances, you can be content to know that you are right in the center of God's will. Do you understand that you can be right in the center of God's will and go through a storm? You remember when Jesus constrained his disciples to get in a ship and go to the other side. And when they got halfway there, the greatest storm of their lives blew up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you can be right in the center of God's will and incur the greatest tormenting storm that you've ever seen.
Yes,
but realize smooth seas never make good sailors. You always have an option when something goes wrong in your life. Now, the option is you can get better or you can get bitter. Amen. You can let it make you one or the other, better or bitter. Now, considering your state in life right now, right where you are, right where you're going through right now. Let me ask you, considering your state in life, are you conscious of having the Lord as the shepherd of your life? Amen. And when this trend that we see currently going on in the church, as it relates to you, let me ask you again, do you intend to remain in the Lord's house?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Or are you on the verge of dropping out of the Lord's race? Amen. Amen. Are you warming yourself in the enemy's fire? My brothers and my sisters, there are too many confessing believers who are currently dropping out of the ranks of the wise and the good. Amen. But you ought to be able to choose that if life has dealt you a handful of lemons, then put some sugar in it. Make you some lemonade and sell it. You ought to learn how to profit from your troubles. Amen. Take what the devil meant for evil and say, devil, thank you. What you brought in my life as bitterness, I'm now serving it up to other people to bring refreshment into their lives. I'm telling you that whatever the devil means for evil, God will put his transcendent glory on it and turn it around and work that thing for your good. When your life takes on new dimensions, enlarging the size of your life, God will see to it that you get on a higher level where you can realize his greatness. That's what contentment is all about. It's not having these ideal kinds of situations and circumstances where everything works out and you live a fairy tale kind of existence. It's not where you get married and live happily ever after. It's not where you get a good job and never have any issues with anybody on your job. It's not where you get blessed and never have to deal with somebody talking about you and hating on you and talking about how you got that house, a car, or what all you must be doing and who you must have slept with to get where you are. Jesus has already taught us that in this world you shall have tribulation. But notice that he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, that's nothing. Don't even sweat it. In this world, you shall have tribulations. Amen. I know you're going to have some hard times sometimes, but be of good cheer and don't let anybody rob you of your contentment. Notice how Paul said, I had to learn how to be content when I had plenty and when I had lack, when I was at the bottom and when I was on top. Paul says, I've been at various levels in my life, and I have had to learn that whatever I had therewith to be content. So contentment is based on what goes on within you and not around you. It's based on your contents. You can't have contentment if you don't have content. Amen. Amen. So contentment is based on what's going on within you, not around you. Amen. It means that you have to have something in you. You will never be content without having some content. Amen. You have to check to see what you have going on within you. If you don't have good stuff in you, you have to always try to overcompensate with exterior stuff. Amen. Amen. You'll find yourself always putting on external accoutrements, trying to look a part. Amen. That give people the idea that you've got it all going on. But if you don't have something on the inside, amen. That's why I like that song, Something Within Me. Whatever it was caused them to try to describe it. It said, something within me that holdeth the rain. And then something within me that banishes all the pain. Amen. Something within me that I cannot explain. All that I know, there is something within me. And then, after celebrating what was going on within them, then they extended into a question. Have you that something? Amen. And when they talk about something within them, they are trying to express a feeling that is often difficult to explain. Have you ever tried to explain what you're feeling when you feel it, and the feeling got you feeling real good, and all you can say is somebody asks you, what made you act the way you acted, and you find yourself saying, child, all I can tell you is it was something. Amen. It was something. But you are what you're trying to do is express a feeling that is often difficult to explain. And so the lyrics of the song are intended to depict the overwhelming emotions and sensations that arise from a deep, deep, deep combustion of the spirit. Amen. Thank God for that something that happens, amen, that we cannot explain. Amen. Amen. You'll recognize this name, Robert Smith Jr. Robert Smith Jr. says that he loves popcorn. He loves microwave popcorn. And he says that he has discovered that every time he puts a bag of microwave popcorn into the microwave, he discovered that there's one thing that happened. With all of the popping and all of the wonderful commotion near the end of the process, when you open the bag, after all of the popping, you will discover that not all of the kernels pop. He says that there's some that are in the bottom that refuse or did not pop. Robert Smith Jr. said that folk in the church are like that. He says there's always somebody when that wonderful commotion takes place in the church. They refuse to pop. As a matter of fact, he went further and he said he has discovered that there's some folk in the church who could use a good pop. A good pop. And I come to tell you tonight that there's something missing in our churches today. It's hard to get a fire started. It's even hard to get a flickering flame started. But I come to tell you that as good as the Lord has been to us, and with all that the Lord has brought us through, and all that he's brought us over, and all that he's brought us out of, there ought to be more popping going on in the church. There ought to be more commotion going on in the church, because Paul says, I have learned. Now another translation, Paul says, it was a secret. Paul says everybody didn't know it. He said, but I learned the secret to contentment. And the secret is, give it all over to the Lord. To the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord. Now one thing I have discovered, and that is, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But we made the mistake in the contemporary church talking about we can do all things through Christ. Paul said, you can't say that. You cannot say we. He said, now if you've had my experience, if you are able to say that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Amen. Paul says, if you're able to say that, then you can say we. But until you reach that point where you have learned in whatsoever state you are in, then you can join him and say, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. 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 God bless you. May God keep you. Amen. 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 Ah, the wonderful power of Christian faith. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Now, the Lord willing, tomorrow, Paul will help us to understand that there is a difference between contentment and complacency. Amen. And you don't ever get so content that you get complacent. Because anything that ain't growing is dead. Amen. I don't want you to fall into the habit, to the devastation of satisfaction. No. Don't ever be satisfied where you are. For God is not through with me yet. Huh? Amen. Bow your heads with me, would you? God, how we thank you for causing us to understand that even in the midst of these difficult times, the times are no greater than you. You are still in control. And we can be content. Even in the midst of times like these. Because we have content. Because we have something within us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And we choose not to be bitter. No. We're going to stop telling the mountains, telling God how big our mountains are, and celebrate telling our mountains how big our God is. We'll lift you up. We'll exalt you. That because you are worthy to be praised. Please forgive us when we sit under the sound of the gospel. Please forgive us. When we don't give you the praise you deserve, please forgive us. When our countenance seems to witness to sorrow and sadness, rather than hope and gladness. Please forgive us. When we come to church with everything but our joy, a full belly, a roof over our head. More blessings than we can name. Forgive us.